hear that tune, so you know what time it is. It's Thursday afternoon. It's time to head in the garden. We're about to get Master Gardener Ed Bajarski on the phone with us from Juneau. Before that, we want to say thank you to the Flower Farm for helping underwrite this program. They're at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing, 10 till 4 p.m. every day but Wednesday. With bouquets available by the jar or subscription, full of colorful dahlias, snaps, and many more blooms. 772-3464, the number for the Flower Farm. Connecting now to Ed Bajarski. Are you with us, Ed?
I'm here in Juneau where it isn't raining at the moment.
Nice. Little break in the downpour here for a few hours as well. Not too shabby.
Yes, I know. I'm going to hurry home so I can do some more garden cleanup and planting.
Yeah, that's the right thing to do this week, eh?
Well, and harvesting, too. I mean, some of the stuff is growing well, but there's not so much of that. The challenging stuff right now, and I'm getting ready to take off for a week, but I'm removing zucchini plants and cucumber plants, which are molding off so severely that I want them out of my greenhouses, out of my hoop house. And so as I go, pulling those out and carefully disposing of them, that's something I could probably get away with in my hot compost with all the horse manure. But otherwise, if folks don't have that, it may be better to bury them deep somewhere or send them off to the dump if necessary.
And that's because of just the funguses and molds on them would...
Yeah. And again, it might be the sort of thing where you, especially in handling these, depends on people's individual sensitivities. But some folks are, if folks have any asthma issues, that you can see the mold. You can see when you handle them sometimes the clouds of the mold spores that come off that. You know, again, I guess it's pretty handy. You are wearing masks much of the time. You know, keep wearing your mask while you're handling this stuff, so you aren't breathing in these mold spores into your lungs, which is really not a good thing for you. And again, it might be the sort of thing where you even turn off your fans in your greenhouse while you're doing this, or go the other way, open up the doors and turn the fans on full blast to ventilate extremely well for the same reason, so that hopefully they're blowing past you and you just aren't. You are not going to be breathing them in.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. You know, I myself do find mold to be quite a respiratory irritant, and even certain kinds of pollen, and I hadn't thought of that, but this spring in the pollen, I was grateful to here and there be puttering around in the tall grass where I had my potato plants trying to get started, and with a little mask on, I found I did not... get nearly the allergy reaction that I had expected. So,
yeah, very definitely. I mean, in another place, in fact, just most recently, we've had, in our neighborhood, we've had the guys doing clearing underneath the power lines, chipping up the branches of the spruces and alders and hemlocks and everything else. And they, if you're nearby and happen to talk to them, they'll deliver you a load of wood chips.
Nice.
But what I found with those wood chips, and they start to cook. I mean, they dump them out of their truck after being in there overnight, and you can see the steam rising off them. But what happens to follow that once they cool down a bit is that the fungus really runs through that. And so I found through experience that you can use them quickly right when they're really fresh. Then there's about a 6 to 8 week long period when there's so much fungus growing in there that if you dig into the pile and you see the fungus spores come out of it, the same thing, you want to wear a mask while handling that kind of material so that, again, you're not breathing that stuff in. And even my neighbor was using it. He's a contractor and is using it along roadsides as mulch. In on bare ground. And again, I kind of suggested to him too that be careful about that when handling that if it's been sitting for a month or two.
That is a good warning, you know, because there is a lot of mold spores in our gardens and in these materials.
This year particularly, you know, probably not as much last year. Last year it was dust. This year, not so much dust. But again, yes, being cautious of that. But then once I get that stuff out of my garden beds, then if I'm not just going to be, I can be planting cover crops. We talked about that earlier. You know, we don't really want to leave our gardens bare. We can be mixing in compost into our garden boxes and beds and then covering them over with clear plastic after we've done our harvest. Or we can, and of course, we can be preparing for garlic planting by, again, mixing in more of the fertilizers and compost into the beds before, you know, and waiting then for another month to 6 weeks before we plant. Or we can be planting a crop, a quick-growing crop, like spinach or radishes or mustard greens or kale, that will grow through as the days get shorter and as the days get cooler. I mean, they're pretty cool already. But still, 2 weeks ago, I had one of the boxes in my hoop house, got the garlic out of it, did some cleanup work in there, added a little bit of fertilizer, moistened the ground because it was pretty dry. I'd kept it dry in that hoop house to benefit the garlic, and then planted radishes and spinach. And it was funny because the only spinach I could find in my seed box was from 2012. I thought, boy, I planted it thick, thinking I wasn't sure if it was going to grow or not. And it sure grew up. And the spinach and the radishes are up and growing. So I am hoping to get some crop this fall. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to be planting some more. I've got another box in the greenhouse where I was just yesterday and this morning pulling out cucumbers. And so it's going to get some of that, some more of that old ancient spinach. I mean, 8-year-old seeds. And they are germinating like crazy.
Nice. And so that's going to do a double purpose, right? It'll give you some winter greens or baby greens, as much as you want to eat, probably. But then also it's a cover crop to preserve those nutrients from being leached out by fall rains, right?
Yeah. Well, again, these are indoors. I'm not doing this outside. But the cover crops, they're outside. They're beautiful. I mean, some of those were planted at the very end of July when I got the first few boxes of garlic harvested. And because of the mixture that I put in, the cover crop mixture, there is lots of field peas, which I can now, I mean, and they're up, they're 8 to 10 inches tall already from that planting, along with the oats and fava beans and vetch. Hmm. Well, can pinch off the tips of the field peas and toss those in salads, and they are incredibly tasty and sweet. You know, so it's a bonus that I actually get something edible from my cover crop mix.
Hmm. Nice.
Great stuff. You should, if you haven't ever tried them, you know, you don't want to do it from your normal snow peas or snap peas, because if you break off the tips, then you don't get peas, although that could force them to branch a bit from down lower. But the field peas, that's good. And again, we're taking the tips off. There's still lots of growth to come for another, well, at least another month or more. They'll take up to a moderately hard frost, 30 degrees or so, at least.
Gotcha.
While they're making more organic matter and making some nitrogen fixing at the same time in the soil.
Nice. Nice, yeah. Okay, good ideas. So that's for cleanup outside and cover crops, but then to bring us back inside to the hoop houses, greenhouses, important project for the weekend is get out the molding cucumbers, squashes, zucchinis, and like you say, throw in some winter greens type stuff.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing I'm doing, too, now as I'm looking at my tomatoes, and I want my tomatoes to ripen, you may, too. You know, green tomatoes, yeah, they're okay. I'd rather have ripe tomatoes. So I've got Sun Gold tomatoes and a couple of other varieties, and they're 6 feet tall, and they're blooming their little hearts out, and still growing, still reaching for the sky. But I know that those flowers that are coming out now, or might continue to keep coming out, unless you've got heat or supplemental lighting or both, they wouldn't ripen. So I am pinching off those top new flowers, looking at the others. If they don't have at least little fruits on them already, you know, those get pinched off, and just pinching off the growing tips. So I want to push the energy that the remaining healthy leaves, you know, because I'm also pinching moldy leaves off the tomatoes too, that all that energy is going into ripening the tomatoes that I have already.
That makes sense. So you're looking for where a little bit of sign of fruit life there on the flowers that you're leaving on?
Yes, exactly. You know, so the yellow, you know, they're no longer yellow flowers. I've been doing my shaking of the plants and tickling the flowers and all that sort of thing off and on during the summer. Definitely we haven't had as much fruit set as we did last year for, I guess, fairly obvious reasons. And I've even got a few tomatoes that I got. A friend gave me half a dozen of a different variety, and unfortunately, since I'm not there, I can't tell you the variety. Oh, I know, Applegate. It's a bigger tomato. It's not a cherry tomato. It's more of the biggest ones I have on there are maybe 2-inch or a little bigger. Nice tomatoes, the ones that have them. But there are several plants. They're the same size, growing side by side, and they set no tomatoes. Well, those plants do not get the deserve to stay. They're out of there. So again, and that is really helping with the ventilation. So there's more airspace for the breeze and all of that. And if they're not productive, they're just, you know, as nice as tomato leaves smell when you're brushing against them and all, you should not be eating tomato leaves. So they're out of the greenhouse they go, and to leave more room, and we could hope more brightness or sun if it happens. We got some. I think we had an hour or two of sun yesterday. It was outstanding. My greenhouse got up to 80 degrees for a few minutes.
There you go. Makes a huge difference. Yeah. Okay. That's a really good point that I hadn't thought of. That by this time of year, you know, the greenhouse, the tomatoes, they've made a valiant effort, and those who have not showed up. Well, now you know which plants are just good to go. Get on out of there, because ventilation, it's mold time right now, so ventilation is more important like than ever, right?
Yep. Yeah, if stuff is not productive, if stuff is getting moldy, you know, get it out of there so you can do the cleanup work. That's going to help you. And again, to let the light in at the leaves, which are producing carbohydrates, which is hopefully going into those tomatoes, that's great. Again, when I'm pulling out cucumbers, I don't let any of the little cucumbers go to waste. If they're good cucumbers, I've got lots of really nice dill growing in there. Not nearly as many cucumbers as I would like. So we can pickle a few of those, the small ones that aren't really of slicing size. And of course, those little cucumbers pickled are the best, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. That's a good reward for some cleanup, is get a whole bunch of little cucumbers ready to go.
Right. And again, that's something that I know some folks I have tried. I haven't been that impressed with pickled zucchinis. But again, where you're finding, you're going to find, quite likely, some of those zucchinis that do have a bad end on them, that a little bit of mold on. If you can slice those off, you can use those. And whether you're making zucchini bread or cake or other stuff with them, or sauteing them, however you eat your zucchinis. But then there's a lot of folks who will pickle them or make relishes and other things. So again, even though they're not perfect, you can still use those in some various and sundry recipes. If you've got the herbs and spices, and of course, hopefully this time of year, you've got all sorts of garlic, so you can make them as garlicky as you want.
That sounds delicious, really. And a good way to use it. That's a good reminder that, you know, certainly in my own garden, there definitely are some zucchinis that I didn't get that rain-drenched blossom off in time and a little soft end, but good to know that there's uses for those little...
Yeah, and I've got others. I mean, I've got some fairly nice-looking, would-have-been nice-looking zucchinis, except that the voles are eating zucchinis in my greenhouse. I mean, wow. So, and it isn't like they are even nibbling on one end. It's like they take a bite, and they move over a half inch, they take another bite. So there's all these bite marks all over the zucchinis. I've got mouse traps baited with peanut butter there, and they're ignoring the peanut butter, and they're eating zucchinis. So that's a strange, I don't know, strange. Well, I suppose maybe it's a safer dietary choice in this case, but it's just odd.
They saw that film Ratatouille, and now they've got a taste for squash.
Okay, yeah, well, I don't do eggplants and some of the other stuff, but it's just strange things that are happening in the garden that we're seeing this time of year, and so we're working with it and around it as we can.
Yeah, that's how it goes. You just got to make do with what the elements offer up as the days go by.
So then the other thing we could probably be doing, if I don't know what's happening in your fair city, but at least here there are already showing up in the markets and in the hardware stores some of the fall bulbs, tulips and daffodils and others. So that's one more thing to kind of be planning ahead for. Again, if we're doing garden cleanups, and maybe we, if depending on what you remember from last spring, or maybe made notes that, hey, I need more daffodils, or I need more, or, you know, the deer ate off all my tulips, so I'm not going to do tulips again. But anyway, daffodils and the ornamental alliums, the onions that the deer don't eat, are something that we want to plant more of. So if they are showing up already, it's too early to plant that, because we don't, if we were to plant bulbs like those now, they would get the amount of chilling time, which is 90 to 120 days, that they need to start sprouting above, well, the upper, the green shoots, which we don't want to happen, you know, in early to midwinter. We want to go ahead and buy the bulbs now, or order bulbs online, if that's your other choice. But set them aside in a cool, dry place. And it can be dark, too. Dark or light doesn't matter that much at this point. Until the end of September and October. Hopefully we'll get a dry day or two or three in there, somewhere in that time period, when we can be doing digging in the garden and planting and looking ahead for spring. Same time that we would be, you know, we'll talk more about it probably when we're ready to plant garlic, too, because they kind of go together. But again, that's just to plan ahead. And the other thing, again, if you're planning to plant tulips and daffodils and crocus, I guess for the tulips, you better make sure you have your fence in good shape, too. But also add some more, start mixing in sand and even fine gravel into your soil to improve the drainage. You know, if you've looked at your garden beds and it's been obviously a pretty soggy summer and you've noticed that you've got puddles and pools there, well, that's one thing is you don't want to plant your bulbs there, because they do not like soggy, waterlogged soil. So again, you can, you know, maybe whether you're building up, making new garden beds, perhaps, for some more color, spring color, or adding sand and gravel to them to improve the drainage around them.
Uh-huh. Okay, good point. I guess that's a good diagnostic benefit, I suppose, of when it's so darn rainy, is you can certainly see what's draining sufficiently and what's not.
Yeah, and again, maybe, because we've talked, too, about putting in French drains, you know, if you're on a bit of a slope, and if you can intercept the water from above and drain it off to the sides, hopefully you've got ditches or some sort of drains to where you can direct the water. You don't want to be directing it onto your neighbor's property, because then the lawyers get involved and then it gets really expensive. So, you know, don't do that. So you've got to plan for where the water is going to go. Look at, make sure, pretty much for the same reason, clean out your gutters you know, do that, do the gutter clean out and clean out your downspout, and then check to see that hopefully the downspouts are going into a drain pipe, maybe to take it away from the house and away from garden beds, you know, that your downspout isn't draining right into your the garden bed that's right there potentially in front of the house. So that's one more way we can improve the odds for, well, a nice successful flower garden or vegetable garden, whatever sort you might have.
Right. Keeping those nutrients where you want them, where they can do something for you.
Yes, exactly. And again, don't oversaturate the soil, because again, that's excuse me, that can cause you lose, well, the soil is unable to have or provide oxygen to the roots, which is needed. You know, the soil goes anaerobic, and then it starts to smell bad when it gets anaerobic also. I mean, that's one of the more reasons, you know, and one more way that you can kind of see what's happening. And, of course, just digging holes here and there where you're thinking about planting something, whether that's planting a tree, planting some new perennials, planting bulbs, dig a hole here and there, hopefully when you have some dry time, and hopefully you'll see that that hole doesn't just fill up with groundwater from underneath.
Nice. Okay, that's a good point. What if you check your beds and you dig a hole and it does fill in with too much water, what can you do? Add some sand in, dig down a little bit and add some sand? Or?
And raise it up higher. You know, again, whether you're building raised boxes and raised beds, essentially you need drainage. So that means you need some sort of a slope. Again, whether you're putting pipes in underground to take it away from that area, or if you can figure out, well, where's the water coming from in the first place? So whether it's coming off your house, off your roof, into the ground, and right there is where the, you know, soft ground is bubbling up. You've got a spring in your yard. I guess maybe that's a hint. You need to build yourself a water feature, or choose different plants, whether you're planting some of the really moisture-tolerant iris, you know, like the tall yellow iris, or ligularias. Certain primroses are very tolerant of quite moist soil, more so than others. You know, and again, some of that's knowing your plant needs, whether they can grow that. Again, shrubbery, again, can be, you think about those, whether it be high bush cranberries and red twig dogwoods and willows. Again, those are more tolerant of soggy soils. So, and then if you put some of those things in there, like, and whether you're putting in cuttings, perhaps you're taking cuttings from dogwoods and willows, poke them in the ground once they root, then they end up pumping water out of the soil. So it may be that, again, if you've got a bit of a slope where you can put some of these moisture-tolerant plants in, that will pump water out, maybe below them, assuming they can catch that water, then maybe that will improve your soil or get enough water out of it that you can grow something else that needs less water.
Nice. That's a lot of really useful and interesting ideas. I like all the different ways that a person can and really must think about the flow of water through our garden spaces.
I mean, I was working with one couple, and I was just over there yesterday, and we checked. So this is about 3 weeks ago. We put in a French drain system, and he had kind of figured that after the uphill, the neighbor on the to the uphill, actually above the highway from him, had clear cut big trees off a few years back. That seemed to result in. And he was down on the downhill side of the highway, and there were culverts and stuff coming down. And seems like his yard was much wetter than it used to be. So we ended up putting it at the very, at the base of some small terraces that were still draining well. And right at the edge of the lawn where it was really soggy, we put in a French drain system and drained that out to, he was down on the beach, so we drained it out to the beach. And I mean, we had water flowing. You know, when we were digging our trenches, we had water flowing. So, okay, well, we're doing it right. I mean, that means you've got a continuous slope. Mm-hmm. And so then yesterday I went, so we put the pipe, we put in gravel and fabric gravel and pipes in, covered the back up again. And yesterday I was back there to help him with some trees I got for him. And walking on those areas that were really soggy before, now they're very nice and firm. That we've probably gotten, I don't know, 3-4 inches of rain since we put those pipes in.
Wow.
And it's working. So it's really, it's good to see how well that worked. It's solid ground now, where it was squish, squish, squish ground before.
Lots of really good points there, too, that it's an, such an important observation about how trees preserve, or, you know, preserve the soil by redirecting water that's falling. And when you lose those trees, you definitely get a whole new level of underground water flow that will just change your land.
Very much so, yes. I mean, people doing some excavating uphill of you, again, things change. And you see the results of that, you know, with the amount of rain we get here. This year is more perhaps more obvious than most.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's a great example of problem solving when you look at the slightly bigger picture of your soggy little square of space there, and you see, okay, how's it getting this way? And a nice testament to the rewards of the effort of putting in some drainage like that. That's good to think about.
Yeah, it's always nice to see that it works. You know,
yeah.
Got a happy homeowner, and so now he's all set to put some new plants in, and some more berry bushes and other stuff that will not drown in his yard.
Yeah, you know, taking care of some of those water issues adds a whole lot of life to the nutrients, into the soil, to the foundation on your house, the whole works.
Right, right.
Well, that's great homework for us there to think about how water's flowing around our living spaces there in our gardens, but also be doing some real cleanup work, especially with an eye toward getting rid of those plants in the garden that aren't being productive in the way that you would want them to right now, because what they are producing is habitat for fungus and mold, which is what you don't want. And then, I love that idea of throwing spinach and other winter greens, kale and whatnot, on your freshly cleared out greenhouse beds. That's nice.
Yep, yep. Gotta keep healthy and eat our greens so that hopefully we won't grow moss or fungus on us.
Yeah. So true.
Well, let's hope it all works. Everything grows where we want it to, when we want it to, and things what we do have left will ripen.
Yeah, let's hope so, and I'm sure we'll learn a lot along the way, no matter how it goes.
Yes.
Well, thanks for taking the time to keep us in the loop and share some good insights with us here today, Ed. And we'll talk to you again next week.
And actually, you probably won't be talking to me next week because I'll be somewhere out in the wilderness chasing wily moose. So I'll probably have to wait for 2 weeks from now.
Okay. Well, then we'll wish you and all of the other hunters who are doing likewise getting some protein for the freezers here and during this hunting season, and we'll catch up the week after then, and just encourage people to keep on doing that garden cleanup meanwhile. And if any big questions come up as people are out there working in their gardens, they can shoot me an email or be sure to call in next time we're on the air. And so it'll be the second Thursday of September then when we're back on the air.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Okay, sounds good. Take care, Ed. Thanks so much.
Bye, Ernie.
Okay, there you have it. In the garden for this week, Master Gardener Ed Bajarski spending lots of time with us. Always full of good advice. Garden is an ever-changing ecosystem. Takes a lot of attention and care, but it gives it all right back and so much more. Up next, it's going to be high country music with Dave Israelson DJing for you this afternoon. Before we hand it over, we want to say thanks again to the Flower Farm for helping underwrite In the Garden with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. They're at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing. Open every day but Wednesday, 10 till 4. with delivery available in the evenings, 772-3464. That's the Flower Farm.
Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure.